It's time for Cooking with Julia, the most delicious hour of your week. A program where we chat about what's cooking in Central Oregon. Every Saturday morning at this time, we invite you to call 388-1110 and bring your questions and comments about all things food to the table. And here's your host, Julia Gray, Central Oregon's Queen of the Kitchen, the Duchess of Delicious, the Princess of Pastry, and Lady Diner herself, here's Julia!
Well, good morning. Welcome to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray. Let me take this down a little bit. How are you all doing? We're going to have a great weekend. As far as the weather goes, lots of sunshine. What you see now is going to stay with us today and tomorrow. Today's high is going to be in the mid to low 80s, but tomorrow we could be looking at 90 degrees. So enjoy it while you're out there. Make sure you use your SPF. I don't want to see any red faces and flaking skin in the next few days. So, and I hope you all had a great week. It's been very interesting. Lots of stuff going on. And, you know, there was summertime, lots of things going on in Central Oregon. I'm really excited about my guest here. First time, fresh meat, as I like to say.
That's right.
I've Gary Lewis. The voice probably sounded familiar. Gary Lewis Outdoors. And he's from our neck of the woods here, yet you've traveled all over the world doing what you do.
Yeah, but I live here because this is the best place I have found. And everywhere I go, I ask myself, would I like to live here better than where I live? And I stay right here.
Yeah. Well, Gary comes into our studios. We have the four stations here. And he comes in every week during the summer and gives a little where to fish today or this week.
Yeah, kind of an outdoors on the trail report.
Yeah. And I've met Gary several years ago, and he's always, I know you've been listening to my show, and he always says, I'd love to be on your show, so your wish has come true.
Well, it's good to be here.
So we're going to be talking a lot about today, of course, what he does, which is hunting and fishing, and, you know, what he does while he's out there hunting and fishing, what you cook, what you eat, and he's got a recipe for us. We're going to be doing all kinds of things. If you have a question for Gary, regardless of what it is, this is a food show, but if you have a hunting or fishing question, give us a call, 541-388-1110. That's okay. Well, you know, we want to make everybody happy.
But well, the hunting is just what we do before we do the cooking.
That's true. That's true. It's all about. And hunting and fishing, same thing. You're hunting for fish.
It is. It really is. Yeah.
So tell me, how long have you been a sports and outdoorsman like this and involved, and you realize that this was going to be your profession?
I remember finding my way across the creek when I was 3 years old and walking up into the woods and my mother come running after me trying to find me up there in the woods. And I was never been afraid of it. It's always been something. I like walking those trails and finding new ones and looking for animals.
You know, I have watched this show on TV. It takes place in Norway, where they eat a lot of game. They are cooking on this particular show, and he uses a lot of the herbs or a lot of the foliage that he finds out wherever he is to season his food. Do you do that?
Okay, I've done that a little bit, but I am way more in tune with the animals than I am with the foliage.
Yeah.
And so I remember sage,
sure,
out, easy one. Out in the hunting mule deer, and we got a buck and then brought it back and took some back strap off right away at that evening at camp and seasoned it with sage. And you know, you can do the same thing with juniper berries and pine nuts.
That's what they eat.
Yeah.
So the seasoning complements that I would
right imagine. And it certainly flavors the meat whether you use it or not, because everything they eat that enhances or changes the flavor.
Yeah.
And so deer is different from Western Oregon to Eastern Oregon, and then Northern Oregon to Southern Oregon.
You were telling me that he brought some pictures in, and one is of the blacktail.
It's a Sitka blacktail from Kodiak Island.
And you said it's the best tasting meat you've ever had?
It's one of the best tasting animals in North America. And the reason why, I think, is because they eat so much seaweed.
And I just can't, I mean, I, okay, I like sushi, which usually incorporates some kind of seaweed, but yeah. I wonder what it is about the seaweed that flavors, you know, the flavoring of that. Or
yeah, and it's interesting. You'll see it on their antlers as they're walking along the beach.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah,
hanging off their antlers.
Do you find what they eat, does it make any difference as far as tenderizing? You know, like the Kobe beef, you know, they say they massage the cow and it makes it more tender. Whether or not it does, I don't know. But
those cows, they look so relaxed, you know, when I go out there, my friend Damien's place, a Deep Canyon preserve, the Kobe beef out there. But I think it really does make a difference. And we'll find that if we get a deer that has been eating a lot of alfalfa, that's a far better tasting deer than the ones that have been up in the sagebrush. And then acorn-fed whitetails out of the south. Yeah, that's
where,
good stuff.
Where those trees grow.
Yeah.
What is that, an oak tree?
The oak trees.
The oak.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so very cool. Now, when you were very young, you were very interested in being outdoors and curious. How old were you when you went on your first hunting expedition, or learned how to hunt or shot?
Yeah, I remember my dad taking me up into the woods when I was three, and I remember everything he told me about gun safety. And we were actually on a grouse hunt that day, and he was using a .22 rifle, and he missed a grouse 10 times, I counted. And he said, "Don't you ever tell anybody about this."
Well, now he's told a lot of people.
Statute of limitations ran out on that one.
So that really imprinted, and you remember that well.
Yeah, and that grouse got away, but my dad was always very concerned about safety. He actually got out of hunting when I was 9 years old, and so I had to plead mom and dad to let me go to hunter safety class when I was 14, and then just kind of find my way. And my dad has actually gotten back into hunting the last couple of years. So, yeah, it's really fun to hunt with him again.
Now, what about fishing? You don't just hunt. You also fish.
Oh, absolutely. And so I fished my whole life. I didn't really start liking it until I was about 11. In fact, I remember one day when I said, if I don't catch a keeper trout today, I am never fishing again in my life. And I got two keepers that day and brought them home, and we ate them. And that was it. That was it, yeah. And this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life, and kind of set the course.
That's great. I mean, and with me, I like fishing, but I like the act of fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm more, I enjoy that. I mean, I enjoy catching and I, you know, but I really just like that being on the water and that zen feeling being out there.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people say it's all about the peacefulness out there, and you know, that is a big part of it, but it's also about the battle, you know.
This is true.
And so we're pitting ourselves against a creature with a tiny little brain.
Yeah,
and it's a predator.
Are you smarter than a largemouth bass? that's the thing. Can you outsmart that? And during Doug's thoughts last break, we were out there talking, and Doug just got this boat, and he was, of course, getting a little bit of information from Gary, and I learned something too, because even though I fish, I usually fished in Southern California.
Oh, sure.
Ocean fishing.
Yeah.
And in Florida. I lived in Florida where I fished in the Gulf. But I didn't realize that bass like shiny things.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, they're all about reaction. And so you stay on the move and you try and hit new water with each cast, and there'll be a fish. Maybe you tell yourself there's a fish behind every rock, and sometimes it is that way. But you got to hit new water all the time. And
yeah. Very cool. Well, we're going to be talking. We have to take a break already. See, it goes fast.
Yeah.
Can you believe this? It goes fast. When we come back, you got a couple topics that you want to hit that are pretty interesting. And I do want to ask you the strangest thing you've ever eaten.
Okay. All right. We'll
again,
talk about
that. Anybody who has a question, 541-388-1110. I have Gary Lewis with Gary Lewis Outdoors here on Newstalk 1110, KBND. And welcome back to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray. Today, my guest is Gary Lewis with Gary Lewis Outdoors. Real quick, before I forget, I want to tell you I went to your website, which I've already put it on my page at KBND.
Oh, thanks.
It's a gorgeous website.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Smart Solutions did that for me.
Great. It's GaryLewisOutdoors.com, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah, and So many tips, lots of pictures, lots of information on there. Where you're going to be, people can come meet you. You're going to be in Tillamook on Monday.
I'm going to be at the Tillamook Cheese Factory doing a book signing there. Can you believe that?
Cheese and meat. I wish I could go just for the cheese and seeing you.
And the milkshake.
I want to ask you, though. Oh, by the way, 541-388-1110. Once again, if anybody has a question. You've been all over the world hunting, fishing, the whole thing. What's the most unusual thing you've eaten?
Probably a western gray squirrel from Oregon. There's very few people that hunt the western gray squirrel. There's a lot of them in certain parts of the state. And I remember we bagged this one on a deer hunt and had it for dinner that night. And
just
people asked me... Well, just because that's what we do, you know. We eat this stuff.
And
people ask me what gray squirrel tastes like. Well, it tastes like crocodile. And I had crocodile in Namibia, which is in southern Africa. And I think those two are similar tastes,
really?
Or at least they were for
gravy
me.
Gravy on it and call it good.
You know, gravy is a good way to do the squirrel.
Really?
Uh-huh. And what we did is we took the meat off of the carcass and then fried it up with butter and some salt and pepper. And
I guess, you know, I've never eaten squirrel and don't know if I really want to.
No, you probably
did. You,
I'll bring you one.
Was it
I'll
tough? Did you have to beat it to death to tenderize?
No, it wasn't tough.
Really?
But I've heard that squirrel can be tough.
Well, yeah. I can imagine because they run so much, it's got to be just thick muscle.
Yeah, running and jumping.
Yeah. So how did you cook it? You just cooked it over the fire?
I cooked it in a frying pan. At the place where we were staying that night. Yeah.
Is it a dark colored meat?
It was a lighter colored meat, really? Actually, yeah.
Well, better for you than me.
Yeah.
but so squirrel right here in Oregon, and you're not putting your stamp of approval, not two thumbs up for that.
No, not two thumbs up. And, you know, stuff I don't like, I've had snipe. I'm not going to have any more snipe. It's like eating fried night crawlers.
Ew.
I think, which I have not tasted, and kangaroo, and
don't like kangaroo. What is it about kangaroo?
Oh, it was the worst meat I've ever had. It was just sour.
Really?
Yeah, it was really wild. I mean, if you say you don't like wild meat, well, that's probably the wildest tasting.
You know, there is a movement to eat more kangaroo meat, so they must incorporate some fat in it or something.
God bless them. They succeed.
You'll stick with a deer.
Yeah, not a big fan of pigeon either.
Yeah, which I think nobody is, alive or dead. Not a fan of the alive ones because I have too many of them in my backyard. Not only do they eat my bird seed like crazy, they leave their memos all over.
Oh, yes.
On your house, in your trees, everywhere. So, do you strictly just eat game meat now?
When we published our first book in 1999, that was Hunting Oregon by Sun Publishing, I told my wife, we're going to just eat wild meat from now on. And she said, well, you're going to have to start bringing more of it home. And so that was about the time when I switched back from bow hunting to rifle hunting again. And we mainly eat wild meat in our family.
Okay. And by the way, your whole family hunts.
Yeah, the whole family hunts. My wife probably less than the girls. And the girls have all been very successful. Jennifer got a bear. Tiffany got a whitetail in Texas. And they do a lot of bird hunting. Michaela bagged her first turkey last year.
Wow. Nice. But lately you've been experimenting with different seasonings and sauces what you're cooking?
Yeah, Barcelona's gourmet sauces. We took them along on a trip that we did for the TV show, our Adventure Journal TV show, and they used their Nogada sauce to make some quail for us.
Yeah.
And previously I had used their mole poblano. I just like saying that, mole poblano.
Mole poblano.
And I'd used that to cook some pheasants. And it was so fun to hunt the pheasants one day, and then the next day, the bird is rising up out of this mole poblano sauce. Really rich, very flavor.
Barcelona sauces. How many sauces do they have?
They have a core group of sauces. I think it's four main sauces, a red, a green, and a couple of others. And then they do some seasonal stuff. And they do a pumpkin one in the fall.
And they're here in Bend?
They're here in Bend, yeah, Northwest Crossing.
Oh, great. And it's for, is it for, you know, fowl as well as meat?
You know.
Whatever you want to call it. Is it meat? You just say meat and
yes,
fowl?
Yes, yeah, yeah. And it's really for all different sorts of meats. And, you know, you can do some vegetarian stuff with it. And the green sauce is really good with eggs. Really like using that one. With eggs.
With eggs. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, you a couple of weeks ago, you actually brought some in and I got a jar of it. And it has to stay refrigerated before opening even.
Yes. Yeah, with that one, we want to refrigerate that. Yep.
And then he brought in, I'm making him talk about this because I love it. You have hooked up with some Justy's Jelly. Who's Justy?
Okay, so I met Justy from Redmond a few months ago while we were doing something with Ray's Food Place, kind of a vendor appreciation day, and tasted some of her jelly. And so it's got these peppers in it. And
so good.
I thought, you know, this would be really good for some meat. And so I had her make me a recipe for the wild boar sausage that I gave her, that I traded her for some jellies. And then what I've done lately is take her very berry jalapeno and put it on the grill on some Axis deer backstrap, and so seared it on there with the Axis deer on the barbecue. Man, that was good. I want to do that more and more.
That means you got to go get more and more.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
Because that backstrap is only... It's not very big.
Yeah, there's not very much of it. So you eat that first, and then you start working on the other cuts.
Yeah. So you have to try the jelly on the other cuts, too.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, I'm sure. So that's Justy's Jelly and Barcelona sauces. And do you have them on your website?
I know we have had them on the website. Yeah, okay. I believe so. It's justysjelly.com and then barcelonasauces.com.
Okay. Now, we were also talking before the show started, and you were mentioned to me that you love to make peach cobbler.
Oh, yes.
While you're out and about.
That's right. Hunting. Yep. Dutch oven, peach cobbler or apple cobbler. And it's a simple recipe. I've got a Camp Chef Dutch oven, and I'll put spray some of that no spray cooking stuff
spray
in there.
Okay.
And then put a little bit of butter in the bottom. Pour in about a third of a box of crumb cake mix, and then pour in some apples.
Canned apples.
Okay. Or canned peaches. And then the rest of the cake mix over the top, and then you take out that little packet with the crumble in it, and you put that on top, and then four good sized pats of butter on top of that, and then pour in 10 ounces of 7-Up or Sprite.
I've heard it's the soda that...
Oh, man. It makes it all happen.
And then you put it on over the fire.
Yeah.
Or in the fire, and you put hot on top of it as well.
Uh-huh. Eight briquettes on the bottom and 16 briquettes on the top. And depending on the ambient temperature, it's about 45 minutes till it's done. And you've obviously heard of this recipe
before. Well, I have. I've studied up on Dutch oven cooking. I've had some Dutch oven people in here before. So I learned that how you can control it by the number of briquettes on the bottom and the top and things like that. And that was interesting to me because you don't just fling it in the fire, which I would have done.
Yeah. So my girls.
There's a technique.
Yeah. And my girls, when they saw me doing this the first time at camp, we were camped up at Frog Lake up on Mount Hood, and they said, "What are you doing?" You know, they're laughing at me because they don't see me cook a lot at home, because my wife, Marilee, she does most of the cooking. And so I'm making this up, and they thought I was a goofball, and I knew that I had this one nailed. And I had what they didn't know is a whole block of ice cream in the cooler too. And so we got this thing done. It was golden brown, pulled it out of there. It was peach cobbler we didn't go fishing that night. We sat there and we ate the whole cobbler, all five of us, and the whole thing of ice cream, and we didn't fish in the morning either.
Oh, I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
And we're going camping tonight at Elk Lake, and so we're doing a cobbler up there.
All right, that sounds like fun. We already have to take another break. God, this goes by fast, Gary. I love talking to you. You're fun.
This is great stuff.
We have to take a break to hear some news and from a couple more sponsors. But Gary has brought in a couple of magazines that we're going to give away. Freshwater Fishing and Hunting Oregon. And they're autographed, too. And so what should be our callers?
Let's do a caller three and a caller five.
Caller three, caller five. Caller three is going to get fishing, and caller five will get the hunting. 541-388-1110. Give us.
Oregon's queen of the kitchen, the Duchess of Delicious, the Princess of Pastry. Here's Julia.
Welcome back to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray. I got to congratulate Julie Sork and Dale. I think it's Loma. I think I wrote it down wrong, but. Actually, my guest here, Gary Lewis, seemed to know who it was, so you must know him.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Not sure.
Well, I'm not sure if this is a question or not. Let's find out. Hi, welcome to Cooking with Julia.
Hi.
Hi. What can I do for you?
My question for Gary is two-part. One, professionally speaking, what's been his greatest accomplishment? And secondly, personally, what's been his most fulfilling accomplishment in fishing and hunting?
Well, this actually does sound like my friend Dale. Is that right? Did I nail that one?
Are you with us, Dale? Is this Dale?
Yeah, got a lot of static there for a second, but I hear you now.
Okay. Is this Dale?
Well,
I guess he's not getting our audio here very well.
Okay.
Okay, but anyway, yeah. I think I love publishing books, and I published 13 books, and I never lose that rush of bringing a project to completion, whether it's a book or the television show Adventure Journal. But my column in the Bulletin has been really satisfying as well, and I think personally as far as personal accomplishments, I think the things that have really given me a lot of gratification is taking my girls hunting and seeing them enjoy it and seeing them be successful.
So it sounds like you just like sharing what you do and sharing what you know. And
especially more now than ever, yeah.
Yeah. Are you still with us, caller?
I'm still here, yep.
Okay, were you able to hear that?
I was. It got through pretty good.
Oh, good. Is this Dale?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, thanks for calling, Dale.
Well, thank you. I appreciate all the good info and fun stories, too.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. We have another caller here. Hi, welcome to Cooking with Julia.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question for Gary, and that is, we have a grill, and my husband has a small elk roast. Unfortunately, we usually dry them out. And we'd love to hear what would be the best way to slowly roast one without drying it out.
Okay, that's a great question, and this happens so much. I love it when I have an elk roast to work with, and I think the best thing to do is cook it. Well, if you can keep those juices in by putting a lid over the top of it while you're cooking, and maybe cook it with put a little bit of water in with it and some carrots and potatoes. You're really going to keep it moist. And the thing you don't want to do with wild game is overcook it. And if you would normally cook a roast X amount of time, cook it
a little less
because there's very little fat in this meat. It's the best meat you can get if you cook it well. And I was talking to Tiffany Haugen from the Eugene area the other day. She's written a lot of cookbooks, and her specialty is wild game. And she said, most people overcook it, and the best thing you can do is cook it a little less and cook it on the rare side.
Great. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call. So that's interesting. Yeah, I was thinking that wild game generally doesn't have a lot of fat on it.
That's right, because it's got to stay on the move or it's going to get eaten.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's why beef that we get has fat, because they're standing around.
That's right.
So that's interesting. But, and you know, you gave her some good advice for cooking a roast, but your wife has a marinade that you like?
Oh, yeah, we really enjoyed marinating over the years. And one of the things that you can do if you want to tame down that wild taste, if that's a concern, maybe some antelope or sagebrush mule deer, is use a ketchup-based marinade or a milk-based marinade. And a lot of times for birds, I'll soak them in milk overnight before we cook them.
How about buttermilk?
Buttermilk, if we have it, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But Marilee's marinade, love this one. We've been using it a lot lately. A third a cup of hot water, 3 tablespoons of finely chopped onion, 2 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of soy sauce, 1 teaspoon of beef bouillon, 1 garlic clove, and 1/2 teaspoon of paprika, and 1/2 teaspoon of pepper. And leave that in for 12 to 24 hours in
now
the marinade.
Do you heat that up, or do you just cold put it on the meat?
We'll leave it in the fridge overnight.
Okay. Now the garlic, you chop it up?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. And it's good for just about everything?
We really like it on deer meat, antelope, and red stag and elk.
I mean, deer meat to you must be like hamburger to many people.
We
eat a lot of it.
We eat a lot of it. Yeah, right now we have axis deer from Hawaii in the freezer.
So you went to Hawaii, huh?
Yeah, I love hunting in Hawaii.
I'll bet. Just to, you know, when you're ready, just go to the ocean and and cool off. I wanted to ask you, when you do go hunting, you know, you pack in a lot of stuff, and you want to use your available space, available weight that you can carry wisely. But I'm wondering, while you're out there cooking, you figure you're cooking meat. Sometimes it's the meat that you've caught, sometimes not, or fish. But what about side dishes? What do you do for sides?
Okay, well, that's a question I didn't anticipate you asking. The thing we really like to do is bring it already prepared. So if we can do that, we're steps ahead. And so in Ziploc bags, already cooked to where we just need to reheat it. And so that might be beans. It might be carrots. I like to have some sauerkraut along, depending on who I'm hunting with. Some people don't like it. And then if I can cook it on top of my Dutch oven, I feel like I'm really being efficient. So I'll put it in a pan on top of the Dutch oven. And I'm cooking inside and
cooking
outside.
Layers, yeah.
Yeah.
You're cooking in layers, kind of. That's interesting. And I did ask you during the break about what you do eat, what you do consume for your meals, especially when you're hunting. Fishing, not so worried about that. Does it detract from, because you're always trying to mask the odor of human?
Yeah, the wind plays a big role in the success of your hunt. If the animal smells you, it's out of there, and they can smell at least 100 times better than we can. And so a lot of guys bring jerky on the trips, and jerky is really highly seasoned generally, and it puts a smell out there. And you nailed it, Julia. I think this is where people blow it, by not thinking about the food that they're bringing along. And you eat that stuff, it makes you a little stinkier to the animal. Your breath is a big thing.
Yeah.
And you have that jerky in your backpack, and sure, it's fun to have it.
Yeah, but
the wind changes and they smell you and that can be, that's like an alarm.
Yeah, that's odd, so what are... Because I confess I'm not a hunter, but I'm just trying to reason things out a little bit here. So when the animals are, what do they want to smell? I mean, what attracts them? Another animal of their own type, I guess. But
yeah, or something they want to eat. Okay, so whether
you
that's
want to smell like sage, or
yeah, or if you're hunting predators, you know, they can come to a whole host of different smells, and you know, it might be a subject for a hunting show, but if you watch what you eat and you pay attention to the smells, I mean, even the stuff you're eating the week up to the season.
Yeah, I guess
you're right. I know some guys who go completely vegetarian for a week or 2 weeks before the season starts. Yeah. And, you know, they're hardcore.
Yeah, well, obviously, but wow. Hunting predators. So you've hunted some big game?
Yeah, bears. We've hunted bears in Northeast Oregon. That was one of the most satisfying days of my hunting career. I think we got two bears in one day. My 12-year-old daughter at the time, Jennifer, she got her first bear that day. And then my friend Todd Lum from Roseburg, he got his bear. We called them both in. Those bears thought they were coming to a deer in distress because they eat a lot of deer and elk calves over there. And the first bear, we rendered the fat. And we picked the apples. This was in September. And my wife had a pie that she had made from the bear grease and the apples waiting for us at 10 o'clock that night when we got in with the second bear. And I have never had a better hunting day than that. And I didn't get to tag anything myself.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's great. Wow. That's a fun story. Really great. We need to stop again for our last break. This time flies. It always flies when I've got, you know, it always flies anyway. But what I'm going to say, this is, I'm glad that Gary's here today because I am learning a lot and I hope you are too. You can always call us 541-388-1110. And we'll be back in just a moment. I have Gary Lewis with Gary Lewis Outdoors. It's all. Welcome back to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray. We're going to have temperatures, plenty of sunshine, and temperatures in the mid to low 80s today. Tomorrow's going to get probably close to 90, so a very warm weekend. My guest today is Gary Lewis, Gary Lewis Outdoors, and we've been talking about some of his fun times in his life and his, all of his hunting and fishing excursions. Actually, you do tours and stuff?
Well, I like taking people on trips, and I went to Chile, to Patagonia, Rumbo Patagon in February.
Oh, gorgeous place.
Oh, man, I was so excited to be there. I'd wanted to go fishing there since I was 12. And I went by myself, and I really wished I'd had somebody to go with me. And so if I go again, yeah, I want to have somebody. I'm not a hunting guide. I'm not a fishing guide. I'm a writer. I'm an author, TV host. And I want to have people with me to take pictures of, to tell their stories and enjoy the experience with them. So I do lead trips. Got a trip we're leading to New Zealand and then another one to Chile, I hope.
Another beautiful location.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, shamelessly plug your TV show.
It's called Gary Lewis Adventure Journal. We have a new producer this year, Sam Pike, and replacing his brother Eli Pike, who helped us really do some nice things with television last season. And so we're on in this market, we're on Bend Broadband, and we're on in Western Oregon and up in Fairbanks and in Idaho too.
Idaho too. Okay. Gary Lewis, in case you missed the first part of the show, he's a local boy. And he comes into our studios once a week.
On Wednesdays, summer, yeah.
On Wednesdays, and give us some a fishing report, I guess. So
yeah.
Give us a little quick one now. If I wanted to go out this weekend or in the next couple of weeks, where would you suggest and what would I find?
Okay, so I'm thinking Diamond Lake for trout. It's one of the best fisheries in the state. It's a fantastic place. There's so much bug life that the fish grow. They put an inch on a month and they really get fat. There's so much bugs in that water. One time I was fishing there with my friend Bob Gaviglio and from Sun River, and I felt like if I fell in, the bugs would have kept me up. But that's what the fish eat, you know, that's what they're growing
that
on.
Is Diamond Lake, huh?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Where are good places on the Deschutes?
Okay, so the Deschutes up above Benham Falls, they stock that during the summertime, and a person can hit some of those campground areas and limit out on trout and bring the fish home. And, you know, sometimes it's those smaller fish, even if you're talking about bass, sometimes it's that 10 to 15 inch trout that actually tastes better than the bigger fish.
Yeah. Oh, I love trout. Yeah. I love it. With me, a perfect meal is nicely grilled trout, some sliced tomatoes, and a dollop of cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese? I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah. It's just something
about
that combination is really good.
Tomato and cottage cheese. Will you cook that in cast iron?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Cast iron is the way to go when you're camping, obviously. But having some cast iron pots and pans in your, you know, in your kitchen for every day, you can't go wrong with it. I mean, if you season it correctly, and usually if you buy something brand new, it comes with some very good seasoning instructions.
Which hardly anybody reads, and they wash the stuff with soap and water.
Shame.
Yes.
But it's all about the fat and the grease and letting it season in the oven low and slow and getting it. And after you've got it and you use it, you don't wash it with soap and water again.
You want it to retain that shiny, black, glass-like appearance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you'll have that piece of equipment that you can give to your great-grandchildren, and they can give it to theirs, and it'll have a story with it.
That's right. Lots of good stories.
Lots of good stories. Speaking of stories, while everybody was listening to some of our sponsors, I did ask you about if you've ever been chased by an animal, and you said...
Yes, yeah, a black bear, and she's hanging on the wall, and a
he
pig.
He fought the bear and the bear laws.
At one time, I thought I was being charged by a brown bear on Kodiak Island. I could hear it ripping through the trees, and I had a deer on the ground. I was all by myself, and I thought, I'm going to have to kill this bear with my knife, and I was backing up, and I could hear it coming through the trees, just ripping, the leaves shaking. And then I felt it in the ground. It was an earthquake. And so I was charged by an earthquake. It was 6.9 on the Richter scale.
Won that one. So was that the first time you've ever been in an earthquake?
It wasn't the first time I'd been in an earthquake, but it certainly was the biggest one I'd been in.
Well, yeah, 6.9, that's really major up there, you know, for anybody. But.
And they say go stand in a doorway. You know, the nearest doorway to me was probably 50 miles away.
Just, oh my goodness. Okay, so what's the biggest fish you've ever caught?
Oh, I love it when you ask me questions like this. It was a sturgeon right on 9 feet out of the Columbia, and so probably 480 pounds, something like that. You get them up to the side of the boat. And I actually got that to the boat really, really fast.
Did you?
And that's what you want to do with those big fish is get them in fast and then let them rest and watch them kick away and go back and make some more sturgeon.
Yeah. So your catch and release.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
It's a nice trout.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, I feel like we have to eat what we catch sometimes to keep us connected to what we're doing this for. Otherwise, it's just we're out tormenting animals.
Yeah, don't want to do that.
I love eating fish.
Well, we're already at the end of the show. Thank you so much, Gary. I'm going to have you back on again.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that.
You're going to have to go gather some more stories so we can yuck it up with the story.
Yeah, I'm hungry too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You talk about that black backstrap. I'm down with that. Thanks again. That's Gary Lewis. GaryLewisOutdoors.com is his website. As always, I'll put it on the Cooking with Julia page at KBND.com. Everybody have a great weekend. Next week, I have Bill Ballard from Broken Top. So have a good one.